Neil Young and Crazy Horse. I wanna live with the cinema. Love Earth Tour. July 29th, Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater. A rare opportunity to see Neil Young and Crazy Horse live. Always in high fidelity. On sale now at Ticketmaster. More information at neilyoungarchives.com.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. First and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. First and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of First and 12 right here with you on a Sunday morning and an afternoon or wherever you're listening to your podcast. Alex Keery, Mitch Harper, KSL News Radio, and the KSL Sports Zone. You can hear us both there. But the full breakdown of the Big 12 and a weekend that was, it may be the wildest conference in the country. As I said, Alex Keery, Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, and, of course, host of Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Nation on KSL News Radio. Mitch, how was game day, man? BYU gets a dub, 27-14 over Texas Tech. The second time these teams have ever played each other. It was 83 years ago the last time. Cougs get a win, man. First time ever against Texas Tech.
Big bounce-back win, and this league continues to show us how wild and crazy it is. It's just the most entertaining league, I think, in college football because you just never know what can happen. And, man, we've got a loaded week to unpack with all the near upsets, the big win for BYU, and then also maybe a little expansion commentary from Brett Yormark. So, jam-packed show, as always, here on First and 12.
So let's get things started, as we always do, with all the biggest headlines across the entire conference. It's our Big 12 headlines. Let's jump in right here.
12 headlines.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
The dozen storylines that shape this week of Big 12 football. Headline 1.
Oklahoma escapes an upset bid from UCF on the Prairie. Man, UCF was a huge underdog in Norman, but they gave Oklahoma everything they can handle. The Sooners escape with a win and remain undefeated.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't give much thought to it because I watched the first couple series and Oklahoma was just eating those guys up in the backfield, and suddenly UCF turned it back around, and guess what? Headline two is John Rhys Plumlee is back as a quarterback. That guy, I mean, this is somebody we got to chat with at Big 12 Media Day, and when he's not playing for this team, they were totally different, and I'll tell you, that was a fun game in Norman today. And they were that 2-point conversion, maybe just a bad offensive call on that 2-point conversion being away from tying that thing up. But an exciting game in Norman, and maybe UCF has a little bit of life in this thing, Mitch.
It definitely ignited a little more hope down in Orlando for the Knights. Headline number three, Texas holds off an upset bid from Houston and survives, but Quinn Ewers gets injured in the game. He left the game in a sling, so could be seeing Malik Murphy potentially if Ewers is out.
Just skip it. Let's go straight to Arch Manning, all right? Look, everybody's waiting for it. Everybody wants to see what's going on.
True.
Yeah, he's probably not ready, but you're right. Headline four, Houston, fourth and inches. They blow it versus Texas. I'm telling you, Texas and Sark were rolling in the first half, no problem. They were pushing Houston around like nobody's business. They do a fake field goal. It ruins everything, all the momentum, and then Houston scores right before the half is over. Suddenly it's a 21-14 game of the half, and then they came out and they scored. I mean, Houston, I mean, we already know that stadium was garbage and Texas wasn't going to play there, and they forced them to play there. It was almost all sorts of fun, but, yeah, you know, Houston, Holgorsen going back, trying to get aggressive, can't do it against a Texas defense that's way more talented than yours.
So
it was bad. It was a bad miss, and I was kind of bummed because, you know, on the one hand, I want Texas to still be rolling a little bit when BYU goes down to Austin next week, which they snuck out of Houston with a win.
When Holgorsen smacked the ground on that fourth down, which there was a questionable spot. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It looked like it was a little bit short, but when he hit the ground, that was kind of probably the collective reaction down in Irving at the Big 12 offices, because you know they wanted the newcomers probably to take down either Oklahoma or Texas. Headline number five, BYU bounces back and takes down Texas Tech. We'll have an in-depth breakdown on the Cougs coming up a little bit later, but had five takeaways in the win over Tech.
Yeah, and headline six is that, Texas Tech and Joey McGuire. I like this guy a lot. I just don't know how much the people in Lubbock are going to like it when you have that type of a record. They're now 3-5 on the season. He's going to have to get that team going during the bye week, try to figure some things out there for the Red Raiders.
A lot was discussed about Baylor making changes on the offensive side. It was orders from the AD, Mac Rhodes. Well, the changes look to be a more pass-heavy attack. They get a 32-29 win over Cincinnati, and Blake Shapen had a nice day through the air.
That can't be good news for old Grimey, can it, when they go, hey, no, let's start throwing the football a lot more there, buddy. And he's like, okay. I mean, my background is running the football, but sure, we'll go and throw it. Why not?
Well said.
Headline eight, Cincinnati remaining winless in the Big 12. I hate this for BYU fans who are hoping that Cincinnati were going to win out the rest of the way, but they're five game. What are they? Are they in a five-game skid here, Mitch? Is that what's going on with the Bearcats?
Yeah, 2-5 overall and 0-4 in Big 12 play.
Oh,
my goodness. They're not good. Ollie Gordon running wild against West Virginia. How about Oklahoma State looking maybe like one of the best teams in the conference now after we had written them off? You can repent later, Mitch, for all the bad things you said about Mike Gundy's program.
29 carries, 282 yards, 4 touchdowns for Ollie Gordon. I think he might be the offensive player of the week in the league. That was a heck of a performance from Ollie. And then headline number 10, Kansas State destroys TCU 41-3 in a Big 12 championship rematch, and K-State gets the upper hand in, again, emphatically in Manhattan.
I don't know what to think about this team. And that's headline number 11. TCU, who are these people, Mitch? Weren't those the guys that looked like they had everything together? I mean, Josh Hoover was talking smack to BYU guys last week after he threw for almost 440 against those guys. And then this week, they were the ones who got embarrassed. I don't know what's going on in this league. I just blame the month of October and this league being just an absolute wild west, man.
TCU is now 4-4 on the season, 2-3. It's going to be very interesting when we unveil our Big 12 power rankings where they land. And headline number 12, we kind of go away from the on-field talk to some off-the-field. Brett Yormark, he remains silent on any conference expansion talks, additional talks, coming out of Hoops Media Day. You buying that at all, Alex? Do you think Brett Yormark's going to be standing still on realignment?
I have no idea, because I wonder if – because if it's only a basketball situation, then it's a little bit different of a rollout, right? And your timing is different, and, you know, obviously, I don't know. I don't know if UConn's in that mix anymore. I'm sick of hearing about Gonzaga. Like, call me when something gets figured out. And I almost don't want to see UConn ever in a football scenario in the Big 12, but here we are.
BYU basketball coach Mark Pope told me in an interview one-on-one that I had with him, he said, we're going to be rolling out something in a couple of weeks that you'll hear about. And I said, Mark, are you telling us that Gonzaga's coming to the Big 12? He said, you'll find out in a couple of weeks. I go,
wow.
Mark, are you telling us something? So we shall see what happens with Brett Yormark, who seems to have an affinity for the Zags, that's for sure.
You know, it's going to be like some sort of like sunglasses sponsorship or something. And we're going to be like, all right, call us when something else happens. All right, there's your Big 12 headlines on First and 12. Let's jump out to a break here. We will come back, and we will jump in fully on this BYU and Texas Tech breakdown as BYU goes to 5-2 on the season. I just keep saying it just because it sounds so much better than actually just going through after we did last week wondering what was going on with BYU. So we'll jump into that and much more. You'll hear sound from Kalani Sitake. You'll hear sound from across the conference as well. It's all coming up. It's our First and 12 right here on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Mitch Harper, right back after this. Stay with us.
Can't get enough BYU football? Listen to Cougar Nation. Mitch Harper takes your calls Monday nights from 6 to 7 on KSL News Radio. Podcast at KSLNewsRadio.com.
I expect some happy callers tomorrow night as BYU gets it done over Texas Tech, 27-14. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery today, though, on First and 12, a Big 12 football roundup. And Alex, today's show is brought to you by Macy's Grocery Store. Happy shopping. And Cougars, their fans and body happy right now because that was a much needed win yesterday over Texas Tech.
Hey, I'll tell you too. It was a absolute victory for the Cougar Tail, the special edition Cougar Tail.
Yes.
With the bacon pieces on it.
Tremendous.
A huge moment. It was so good. And I'll tell you, so my kids ate one. They said it was great. I happened to take a bite, and I said, wow, I'm actually surprised. And I told you, this is 100% better than the chocolate option that they gave last year that they rolled out. It's like, we're going to put some chocolate frosting on it. It's like, step it up. Step your game up. We're inviting all these people from the South. They're going to be like, hey, you made it a big chocolate donut? That's cool for you guys. Like, we put it a bacon on it. And you know what? That means they're taking it seriously at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. At some point I did hear tale that they had run out. And so there were some unhappy fans, which I responded, you can bring your own bacon next time to the stadium, sneak it in, sprinkle it on the old donut, and there you got yourself a little bit of a meal there. That was a highlight for one of my kids. So I'm just telling you, that's how it works with that. But, yeah, the fans were loving it, man. It was homecoming. Not that means anything anymore for folks, I don't think. But, yeah, huge win. 27-14. And the way that somebody told me, they go, dude, they kicked those guys' butts. And I said, yeah, they kind of did. But they could have done it a lot better. Like, they could have really kicked these guys' butts. I mean, it was kind of funny because, I mean, there were so many left opportunities out there. I hate to go full negative, but the cynic in me and the guy who's critical watches the offense in the second half, Mitch. And when it was 24-7 at the half, I thought, nice and efficient in the first half. But, man, it was just so many three and outs in that second half and so many attempts at just throwing the ball three times in a row that was really disappointing, too.
It's amazing how BYU wins games this year.
Yes.
It blows me away in how often they're doing it at a 5-2 record. And they were outgained in total yards 389-277.
Yeah.
Time of possession. They closed the gap a little bit at the end there, but it was a sizable edge to Texas Tech, and it didn't matter. The thing that's nice about BYU this year, Alex, is that they have a defense that can create takeaways. And if the BYU offense just simply takes care of the football and doesn't cough it up. Keaton Slovis nearly did in that first half.
Ooh,
but if they take care of the football, they're going to be in a position to win a lot of ball games against, you know, average teams. And I think Texas Tech is near the bottom of this conference. Maybe that's a spoiler alert with the Big 12 power rankings coming up. But I think that, you know, Tech, BYU capitalized, and they got playmakers on defense. That hasn't happened for a few years in this group. So if the offense just takes care of the ball, they'll be in a spot, despite their issues, to, you know, put the foot to the gas and finish a team off. They can still win some ball games, even though they're outgained quite often in these wins.
It's become a habit, right? Like, at this point, every game that they've had a win, you and I seem to be sort of jamming about how they're not just outgained a little bit, but, like, by, you know, pretty good chunks. You know, usually over 100 yards they're being outgained by. But it's not just – and it is, like you said, the time of possession made it look like it was a little bit closer than it actually was. I think you get a better idea when you see, again, how many more plays Texas Tech ran during the game, 80-57. We've seen that in so many – basically every win they've had, maybe save the Sam Houston – or no, the SUU game – You see them being outgained. You see them being the opponent has more first downs. The third down issues were not really solved this week, Mitch. That's the other thing. I think Tech ended up 9-for-18. I know that Jay Hill's not going to be super excited about that number because they talked so much about trying to figure out that third down situation. And so there are things that definitely they're going to want to work on, and there's stuff that they can definitely go, hey, we got to get better at X, Y, and Z. But at this point, you kind of go, I don't know, this is the habitual for them. I don't remember the last time BYU had a +5 takeaway game against anybody since I've been alive. I don't really remember a game like that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I remember that Utah game in 2016. They had 6 takeaways on Utah, but they also gave up, I think, 3 or 4.
Right.
It's not often where they're +5. I'd have to go back in the archives. And then you add to the fact that how many times has BYU won a game where they only have 15 passing yards in a half? That was the second half for BYU.
Jeez.
Yet they still won the game. They only had 78 yards total on offense in that second half. There was a stretch in five drives, four out of the five drives, that it ended in three and out. And it looked like it was going to be five out of six until Aiden Robbins pulled out a first down on 3rd and 13.
Right.
A conservative play call, and he hammered it down and got the win for BYU. But, you know, I just think this is what it is with BYU. They're not going to win pretty as they continue to fill out this Big 12 conference. But, man, what a great way to kind of have a filling out a game and get a nice win at 5-2 and win by two possessions. I mean, it's not pretty, but that's just what BYU is this year. I feel like Keenan Slovis is not look great again, but he took care of the ball. And that's all you can really ask for at this point for this team, and just find a way to get wins as you're one step closer to getting bowl eligible.
Has the run game been solved then? Can you go ahead and just put that check mark next to it? Everything's all good with the run game now, Mitch? Is that how you feel?
I feel like the offensive line took a huge step forward.
Huge.
And I think it's nice that everyone is in the place that they should be in for the beginning of the year. Connor Pay at center, Paul Miley at left guard, Waylon Lapuaho at right guard. It feels like this is what it should have been from the get-go. And they were physical at the line of scrimmage because Texas Tech, you know, you think high-powered offenses with them, but their best NFL draft prospects are McFarland at defensive tackle and then that edge rusher, number 7. BYU contained them. I mean, they got some shots in on Slovis, and even Slovis looked like he kind of was nursing his left hand a little bit. I don't know if you noticed that, but, you know, he keeps getting back up, and I thought the O-line did a really good job, and I think the running backs stepped up and took advantage of the opportunities when there was holes there. I mean, L.J. Martin goes through 93, Robbins for 49. You'll take that. As compared to what they were, where they're averaging about 60 yards a game,
right.
I think that's a huge step forward and a much-needed confidence boost for BYU in this game. And it was a chippy game, too, Alex. I mean, this was a thing going back and forth. I mean, you know, in the post game, Tyler Batty, defensive end, if you remember, he had a heck of a game, too. Batty, I thought, had one of his best performances this season. But he, in the first half, a Texas Tech player spit on him. And I asked him about that exchange, and he kind of revealed some additional details about kind of the chippiness between Texas Tech and BYU.
I bull rushed one of those. It was a field goal, and I just pancaked one of their offensive linemen, laying on top of him. I get up, and this dude just comes out of nowhere, just starts saying all sorts of stuff, and then spits in my face. And then honestly, actually, to end the game as well, their right tackle, 76, did the same thing after Josh Singh made that tackle. Came up, and I was like, hey, man, you know, like, good game, and he just beep, beep, beep.
That's how you were playing the right way.
They were pretty upset throughout the game. So, you know, we'll take advantage of that.
Ew, two times you get spit on during the game.
Ugh.
That is disgusting, bro. Well, but listen, I always love when guys come after you after you've just beaten them, you know, and you kind of go, hey, I mean, all they have to say is just a bunch of nasty words to you, and then maybe they spit on you. But, yeah, I was wondering, too, because I didn't know what had happened. When I see the guy walking off, I'm going, what is going on here? And then later it was when I saw the replay on TV of them tossing him out, but you didn't really get a good definitive when he got spit on. But interesting going through the good game line, somebody spits on you again. I will say from a rushing standpoint, I know it's not totally fixed. Like I was saying that facetiously, but 150 yards on 30 carries, that's 5 yards per, Mitch.
Yep.
Like that's by far their best game, not just overall, but it was so much more consistent. And I think that's why it was weird in the second half, because you had all those three and outs, because they went to the air multiple times in a row, or they would decide to run it on at 3rd and 9 or a 3rd and 13. You know, at least Aiden Robbins converted on that. But they had these moments where they're like, let's throw it on 1st and 2nd down, and you're going, well, one, they're incomplete passes, and they're stopping the clock, and it's like, aren't you trying to chew up the clock a little bit? So that was stuff that I think was frustrating from a play call standpoint that people certainly in our post game last night were going after A-Rod, you know, about some of those calls. But you know how people are. When you win the game, there's still a little bit of a backlash from fans when they find the negative stuff. But overall, stuff that they can work on, but they still won by double digits. It's crazy. On top of all that, Mitch, it's also a game that they were dogs. They were underdogs.
Yeah.
And they just keep doing the same thing. Again, underdogs, not going to be. They're going to be outgained. They're going to be out possessed. They're going to be outplayed in terms of how many plays they run, and they'll still win the game. And in this case, like they did against Cincinnati, double digits. There you go.
And I think too, this felt like the first, you know, at home at least, the first real Big 12 game, and maybe now with that element of Batty, you know, allegedly getting spit on at the end. You know, maybe this is going to be the beginning of something kind of fierce and nasty between two Big 12 teams. Maybe this is going to be the juice needed. No longer this, you know, everyone's kumbaya, happy-go-lucky. Everyone's just honeymoon phase with BYU. Maybe this is now the nastiness coming out.
Mitch, I love that you've worked in the newsroom enough to say the alleged spitting incident between Texas Tech and BYU. The dude spit on him. Come on, man.
It allegedly occurred. I mean,
what allegedly
the way Batty reacted to in the first half, you just knew something, you know, something crazy happened.
I thought it was interesting because it didn't seem like the referee saw it. Yeah. But he just kind of was like, what? And he's like, look at my face. There's spit on it. And then they toss that guy, and then he gets it again at the end. All right, so there you go. We're going to take another break. We'll come back. Let's listen to some Kalani Sitake on the way back, and we'll listen to what his post-game comments were. And it is. It's a mix of some of the good, bad, the ugly, and it's, I think, a kind of a head coach's dream in the sense that you had all these takeaways, all this stuff going on, and yet there's things to work on. Kalani talks about that. All of this on First and 12 brought to you by Macy's, freshest fruits and vegetables. You only should go to Macy's to get all of that. Happy shopping at Macy's. Who brings you First and 12 every week? All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go around the corner. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone and KSL News Radio. It's First and 12.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. First and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. First and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Good vibes for BYU today. A lot better than last Sunday. Cougs bounce back. Got a big win over Texas Tech, 27-14. And we're breaking it down here on First and 12. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery here on KSL Sports Zone and KSL News Radio. Head coach Kalani Sitake, he shared his breakdown of the game, getting that big win over the Red Raiders.
What I'm looking at is like, we need to do better. I think that, you know, mentioned before, other than the turnovers, I like that we were able to get turnovers, but third down on offense and defense, we can be better. So we need to sustain some third downs, get first downs. But I think we did enough to win the game. I think we had it too dramatic at the end. We had some opportunities to make plays, and I thought whenever you force, turnovers? It was five turnovers, right? And we're able to get out of a couple fourth downs. That's a good sign. But I keep thinking about the plays that we left on the field, the ones that actually turned into interceptions, and those are easy. Just catch the ball, and when you get those opportunities, those gifts, you can't squander them. And so overall, I thought we tackled well. I thought for the most part, there's a few things that we could fix. I think the missed assignment gave them a big play on the first touchdown, and. But the guys' effort and their resilience, especially on defense, allowed us to get this win. Still a lot of room for improvement in all three phases. But we'll take the win, we'll build on it, and then look forward to playing our best next week when we get to Austin, Texas. So take any questions you guys have.
Kalani, you've talked all season about wanting more takeaways. So seeing a game where you get five official and you mentioned the turnovers on downs, it's got to be rewarding to see the defense get that many, you know, that force that many takeaways.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm happy about it. I want to see more disruption. You know, it's just Jay does too, and so we know that there's guys still getting used to the scheme, getting used to the system, and so there's a lot of I feel like there's a lot of plays that we could have made still. That the call was set up perfectly for the throws that they gave us, and the plays that they gave us, and we didn't capitalize on it. So I thought we could have had more, believe it or not, you know, disruption and turnovers, and at least get the quarterback get off his timing so we can maybe generate some sacks and things like that. But the guys were active. They flew around, caused Texas Tech to hold us a few times, and those were big. They saved us because they're big plays, you know. So that's the game of football. But I think if you have great effort and you you work really hard, that things are going to work out in your favor. And glad that they called those holding penalties, because they're holding, but you want your guys to always work hard and have it pay off when you give the effort. And so that was a good thing for us, and fortunate for us. There's still a lot of room to improve on. So that's, I keep looking at it, and there's just not enough. I'm looking to play our best, but I'm happy about the win. But I know we can play better than that, and that's the focus. But we'll keep building. We keep getting better and better. It's good to see Aiden back on the field again. So we'll keep working. I know we're working on getting some guys healthy. Hopefully get Kibo back next week, and I know he wants to be ready for that game heading out to Texas, his home state. So what else?
On offense, 68 yards in the second half.
Yeah.
Was it kind of going conservative with the lead, or plays just weren't?
I have to look at it. I think Texas Tech made some plays, and we got behind the sticks early on first down. A couple plays that we had that made us lose way too many yards to make up, and then found ourselves in third and long, which is what we were trying to avoid. And then credit to Texas Tech, they made some plays. They got through our pass protection a couple times, and just wish if we can hang on just a little bit longer, Keaton can make the throw, we can get some big plays, because there are some real open wide receivers there, and that's the risk of what you take on the blitz, and we didn't. I think we're on the right guys. We just got to sustain the blocks a little bit longer, give Keaton a little bit more time to make plays, and that not good enough. My answer is not good enough in the second half, and I know A-Rod and the guys know they can play better than that.
Guys were flying around tonight. One of those guys was Tyler Batty. What was it about his energy?
Yeah, I mean, he does it on punt. He's on the shield. He's our punt captain, and so he flies around. This is what he does all the time. He's just wired that way. He's a kid from Payson that loves playing here and loves being this close to home, and so I'm glad that he was out there to make plays for us, and that he made a difference on special teams, which is huge, you know. Granted that they got some returns that got up to him, I'd like to see us handle the returns a little bit better. Really missed having Marcus McKenzie out there. We gave some other guys opportunities, but hopefully we get Marcus healthy and back for next week too.
How did you feel like you improved today from last week?
Well, I mean, we didn't get down. I thought the energy and the belief with making plays was there, especially in the first half. First half, I thought it was a good half. Not perfect, but the guys played really sound in all three phases. And then the second half, we kind of, you know, like I said, credit to Texas Tech. They're trying to find a way to get back in the game. And just looking at the scoreboard and seeing a 2-score lead when you're like, man, we have so many turnovers and so many opportunities that we should have capitalized on and just didn't do that. So I'd like to see us improve that and just kind of, I don't even remember when we had Cincinnati here, and then we had a bad snap. We could have ended that too. So it's you can't let teams hang around in this conference. They're gonna find ways to hurt you, and I don't want to learn that lesson. I think we can see it from other people. Let's try to find ways to close games out, especially when we have them where we want.
16 carries for Aiden tonight. Did you expect that workload for him coming in, or was that higher than expected?
Yeah, I mean, I think those guys can handle a lot of the runs. We knew that Aiden and LJ was going to get the bulk of the runs, but those guys are a good 1-2 punch. And then we threw in Dion in there, and he adds a little bit to the mix too. So we feel good about that, the running back core. I don't know if the numbers will go one way or the other, but we know that we can rely on both those guys to take the bulk of the carries.
Was LJ okay?
Yeah, LJ's fine. LJ's okay, yeah.
Are you pleased with the progress that you've seen from the run game?
Yeah, I mean,
the struggles that you had earlier in the season.
We didn't finish the game on victory, which means that the running game is really effective and that you converted first downs. But we're close, you know. Third and long and just giving the ball to Aiden, we've done that before, Tyler. And so it was nice to see our guys be able to convert a first down in third and long when they know you're going to run, and we run the ball, and there it is, you know. But, we're capable of doing that. I thought that we're on top of the runs. I thought everything was looking good in the run game. There's still some room for improvement in every phase, and especially in the run game too.
Didn't see much Chase Roberts. Was he banged up in the second half? What was his?
No, he's fine. I mean, I think nobody's 100% right now, you know. But we're gonna try to find ways to get better and get fresh and make sure that we're ready to roll next week. But I think some guys, they're ready when the number's called, and He played quite a bit, though.
You feel like you've got some stability now at safety with Slade and Wakely moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I thought other than the drop interceptions, Crew had a really good game. And then I thought Slade played really, really nicely. That, you know, we still have ability to use Raider in there as well. So it's unfortunate we've had some of the injuries at that position, but it's good that we have depth there. I don't really need to test the depth out anymore.
Through 7 weeks, do you feel like the offense has found its identity yet? And if so, what do you think it is?
Yeah, I think just do whatever it takes to win. But I think there's still room for improvement. I feel like on both sides of the ball, guys are still getting. We still have some new bodies and some new people to the scheme. They're getting used to it. They're starting to develop a rapport with each other on the line and in the passing game with their quarterback, and then on defense, understanding the scheme a little bit more. Jay's not really happy about what we could have done on third down. He felt like there could have been some more plays to be made on defense, and I know A-Rod feels the same way, and I know K-Pop feels the same way on special teams. So good to win. We're excited about it. We know that we can play football with these guys and come out with a victory, but there's still a lot of places that we can improve on, and I'm excited to get to work on that.
Yeah, you notice, Mitch, I mean, I think that's probably the best way that Kalani loves to end a press conference with. Got the win, he's happy, and then he goes, we got a lot of stuff to work on. I think that's a head coach's dream, right?
Yeah, it really is. And to be 5-2, you know, I think this is a great spot for BYU to be in. And the thing is, too, Alex, and we'll get to it coming up a little bit later, but you go next week to Austin, you got nothing to lose. I mean, you're going to probably be a 3-touchdown underdog, even if Quinn Ewers is out. And you got nothing to lose because there's still a belief that you're going to get to bowl eligibility. You got a lot of games after Texas, a whole month's worth. So you got opportunities. So just go loose and just try to get better. And I thought BYU made strides, improvements in that win over Texas Tech. And I think that's Kalani Sitake has got to feel good about the response from his team. And he wanted a team that could handle adversity. Well, he got a resounding statement that, yes, they can handle adversity and bounce back in a quick way.
We'll take another break here. We'll come back with our game of the week. Speaking of Texas, kind of fortuitous here that we'll be talking about the team that BYU will be taking on next week down in Austin. Yeah, so many more things to talk about here. We've got a ton for you. And next hour, you do not want to miss a very special edition. It's like an after-school special, Mitch. It's like a special edition of our Sound Roundup of the Big 12. We have something really fun for you that our producer Eric has put together that you do not want to miss. So stay right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, and also on KSL News Radio. It is 1st and 12.
Read all the stories about BYU sports no one else has heard. Go to KSLSports.com for exclusive columns by BYU insider Mitch Harper. That's KSLSports.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's another edition of 1st and 12 right here on KSL News Radio and on the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Sunday if you're listening to us in the morning or in the afternoon on KSL News Radio. But we invite you to download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. You can get yourself all sorts of fired up for the water cooler chat about the Big 12 and stuff going on. That's what I do love about a win like this, Mitch, that BYU got over Texas Tech yesterday, is that it fires the fan base back up again. And this is why conference play is so good too, because if you win a conference game, you just absolutely flush that loss of the conference game at least the week before. You know, there might be some sore feelings of still how bad of a beatdown that BYU got against TCU, but TCU turned it right back around and got their butts kicked this week by Kansas State. I mean, it's a head-scratching situation, but I love all this, man. I love that these teams are unpredictable. I love that they're all talented enough to be to embarrass one another week in and week out. And you know what? I said it during the game, too. I was talking to somebody. I go, you know, BYU's a team that no team really looks forward to playing because they can be dangerous every week. And that's what you got this week. By the way, 1st and 12 brought to you by Macy's, your local grocers who bring you the freshest fruits and vegetables. Macy's Happy Shopping. Am I estimating that right, though, Mitch? Like, maybe I'm giving the Big 12 more credit than it deserves. Maybe it's just a garbage conference that everybody else is telling you how bad of a conference it is. And they just don't know who to pick as being good. But certainly even this Texas and Houston game that is our featured game of the week was a wild one.
There's so many games and so many teams, rather, in this league that, you know, from – you know, 20 to 50. I mean, it's fun to have toss-up football every single week. And I feel like the personnel in this league in the starters, particularly on like the front sevens, the running backs. There's good talent across the board, and there's enough balance in this conference where just anything can happen. And I like that dynamic, and I feel like it's emerging as kind of this, you know, football fans' favorite conference because of that component. Because I think in college football we've gotten so used to the same. Ohio State always wins. They beat Penn State. Georgia always wins against a nobody schedule. Bama always finds a way to escape. It's just the same thing over and over. But the Big 12 is kind of like this, what is going to happen every single week? And we saw it, as you noted, Texas and Houston, our Big 12 game of the week. You know, everyone just thought Houston was going to get rolled. I mean, even Dana Holgerson's like, we'll take a shot at this and see what we got. And, man, they took a shot all right. They roared back from a 21-0 deficit, tied it up, and it was 24-all, and they had a chance to take down the Longhorns. They were on the move. They were in the red zone, but then they stalled and couldn't come up with that first down conversion.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the biggest thing that comes out of this, especially that's applicable to the BYU fan who's listening, you have Quinn Ewers, who I don't know what it's going to look like. The guy was on the sideline with the sling. I don't know what his status is going to be for next week, but I couldn't imagine that. I mean, look, BYU's been taking on backup quarterbacks all season, it seems like, anyway, with mixed results. And certainly if Quinn Ewers is out, they'd probably be like, hey, sit him against BYU. We're probably going to be two or three touchdown favorites. But there were three touchdown favorites against Houston yesterday too.
Yeah. That's right, and Steve Sarkisian said last night in the post game that Ewers does have a hurt shoulder. They're going to find out more today, but he also added that, you know, Ewers tried to play through it. He was 23 of 29. He looked really good. Another efficient day for Ewers, but you know, Malik Murphy stepped in and did a pretty solid job. But yeah, I think that it was fun to see, and it gave hope too, Alex, for these Big 12 newcomers that they're not just completely overmatched. And that was one thing I learned about BYU, was that they have made progress since Kansas, and Houston's made progress, and UCF settling, and they gave Oklahoma a scare. I mean, Cincinnati's still trying to find its footing, but it was a battle with Baylor. I just think these teams are starting to kind of get a feel and get in a rhythm of, like, the physicality that comes in this conference. And it was just a good showing overall for the newcomers, even though most of it was losses. I just think that was something that was a good takeaway from those teams to show well against programs that have been etched in and just foundational members of the Big 12 from the beginning.
There's that part of you, too, that goes, oh, shoot. Wish BYU could play Houston this year.
exactly.
Wish BYU could. You start looking around and you go, wish BYU could play Houston this year. Really glad BYU doesn't have to play Kansas State this year. or who knows, maybe it's a week that Kansas State didn't show up. They've had a couple of those too. Yeah, but Houston, I mean, man, they got athletes. I mean, that's the thing, is they know how to recruit. Dana Holgerson knows how to recruit. It might take a minute, but I don't know. I'm one of those guys that goes, I think Dana Holgerson is a pretty darn good coach. He's one of those guys that I just personally like, you know, like I've interviewed the guy a couple times. I really like the dude, and so it's a hard thing for me. And he's super smart, and he's also a football historian. Like, I just love that when you talk to him, he goes, oh, BYU, Mike Leach, Lavelle Edwards. That's his kind of tree, right? I mean, so when he talks about those things, you kind of go, yeah, this guy fits in this conference right now. But, yeah, Houston, I know that they had a win against the Mountaineers two Thursdays ago, but – you know, losing against Texas in a close one, no one remembers what the score is. They just, you know, in the end, they just go, yeah, you lost that game again, and you guys just weren't good enough again that week.
I just hope for Houston that they don't let this loss sink them, because this was a game that would have, I mean, Holgerson would have got a contract extension on Monday had he won. I mean, it would have been celebration.
Right.
They would have been talking about this thing forever had they won. And you saw the reaction from those fans. They were devastated. And it's rare when Houston gets a sellout. And a lot of that was burnt orange. But I just think that that's the type of loss, being so close to taking down UT. They can't now, like, spiral back to what they've been in the past this season and being just kind of an afterthought. Hopefully they build on it, and they can become a team that gets to a bowl and they're competitive, because, you know, that's been one of the calling cards for this league, is that they get so many teams in the postseason, then they have that massive payout to the teams. You want to get to those bowl games. So
yeah,
that's a motivation and confidence boost, I think, even though it was a loss for Houston going forward.
By the way, before we get out here, you can guarantee, mark it down, it'll take three generations before Texas and Houston ever play each other again. Am I wrong?
Oh, it's yet. It's going to be a century. It's never happening again.
You're going to have a lot of people die and a lot of people who have written stuff in wills that say never, ever, you shall never. A lot of athletic directors who are like, you will never put those guys on the schedule ever again. So there you go. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. Our second hour is just jam-packed full of a ton of sound and a ton of fun, getting you ready for the Big 12 and also getting you ready for the schedule for next week. Our power rankings, of course, though, that we do weekly in the Big 12, right around the corner. The movers and shakers, people who go to the bottom, people who start shooting up to the top. We've got it all coming up next right here. It is First and 12. 97.5 KSL Sports Zone and KSL News Radio. Stay right here.